not sin. Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. Jesus is pretty neat, you know. When you get to know him and everything, you get to find more and more about him. As you grow in him, as you go day by day, living your life after you accept him as Lord and Savior, you know, when you say that little prayer, God, I believe that Jesus Christ is you, the Son of God, that he rose on the, you rose him on the third day. Come into my life and forgive me of my sins. That kind of simple prayer is what gets you saved. Now you have to go through a little bit of a process here of, you know, finding out that Jesus is the Son of God. And once you get into the thing that you really do believe that he is the Son of God, and that he came and he paid the price for your sin, and you accept this, and you believe it in your heart, and then when the opportunity arises, sooner the better, basically, I mean, you just tell somebody, you know, hey, I'm a Christian, I just accepted Jesus. You give account of the faith that you believe in. And you have to do this by confessing it, by speaking it out, by telling others. It doesn't mean that you got to go knock at doors and say, you know, Jesus is the Lord, you got to accept him. It simply means that when you acknowledge that you believe in Jesus Christ verbally to somebody, that seals the salvation deal. Then you come to a situation here. You see, nobody can take you away from Jesus. There isn't anybody, demon or mankind, cannot take you away from Jesus. Jesus will never forsake you. There isn't any reason that Jesus would ever forsake you that you could do. Jesus will always be with you. The only thing that can make you think he forsake you is yourself. You can think it. You can believe it. But these are not the truth. Remember, you come to Jesus in faith, not in fact. Jesus, belief in Jesus is by faith. Once you accept Jesus, you're going to see a lot of fact. You're going to be one of these crazy kind of people, you know, that see UFOs. Doesn't mean you're going to see UFOs. I mean, I'm making a point here. You're going to be one of those conspiracy theorists or whatever, you know. Meaning, what I'm trying to say is, you're going to be a nut. You're going to be a fruitcake. Because you're going to say to somebody something that they can't see and nobody else can see, and you can't prove it to them. No matter what you see and hear and feel, you got to explain this to somebody else. And they haven't seen it or felt it. And so you're in that category of a kind of a, you know, if you do kind of person. A little bit different because we as Christians like to play the game too, you know. If anybody believes in these other kinds of stuff, we say, whoop-de-doo. You know, we don't want to believe or think that maybe there's something to it. Of course, a lot of us do. A lot of us believe in all kinds of different stuff that's out there, you know. But, generally speaking, the comparison is there. When you accept Jesus and you believe him and start getting the miracles and answered prayer and you feel him and you hear him and you tell somebody, you're witnessing your experience. That's what witnessing is. Witnessing is reading the Bible or quoting the Bible to somebody else. Witnessing is not learning all about the Greek and the Hebrew custom of the ancient times and learning the language. And this means that you're a teacher. Now, if you're a teacher, you need to somehow get teacher credentials. The Holy Spirit gives credentials. You don't get credentials overnight. If you go through the College of the Holy Spirit, then you got some pretty darn good credentials. But if you're just going to say somehow by this kind of faith thing that you're a Christian, and so, you know, you're right. It don't work like that. You've been through something, and so you can talk about it. You've been through the college of the Holy Spirit, where he's the teacher. You see, you know, there's something interesting about going to college in the Holy Spirit college, because you're supposed to fail it. Did you know that? One college that you're supposed to get an F in is the Holy Spirit college. If you get an A in it, you're too good for your britches. You didn't learn a thing if you got an A in Holy Spirit, because you could go out there and now you could be this terrible teacher that knows it all. And you ain't going to be a very good witness at all. You've got to fail the Holy Spirit classes to pass them. Because if you can't come out of the Holy Spirit college realizing you really don't know a whole lot about Jesus Christ and God and his magnificent glory and wonder, and so you're humbled. Because the more you go to college, the more you know you don't know. When you're going through the Holy Spirit college, when you go to man's college, you know it all. Your head gets swollen. You're the boss of things. You're the authority. You put yourself on a pedestal. You're smarter than the other people. You could just whip off all this kind of stuff about these other languages that are in the Bible and the customs and all that. And you think you already got you. Now, after all, your teacher told you this. And you decided what you wanted to believe about whatever it is. When you go to man's college, you're a know-it-all. It doesn't humble you very much. And so all of your good knowledge doesn't work unless you start taking the course in the Holy Spirit college. You can't apply for the Holy Spirit college. You can't pay the tuition for the Holy Spirit college. You see, something about the Holy Spirit college is you have to be called of God. You could have the desire. You could have this, you know, we're all called to be ministered. You can have this good feeling and all this kind of stuff. But you ain't going to have this particular call to the Holy Spirit college. If you go to a Holy Spirit college, you're going to come out humble. You're going to come out, and when you speak in the authority of the Holy Spirit, or Jesus Christ, there's no need. There's something about that what you are saying that is pretty founded in something. Because when you're finished with the Holy Spirit College, you've been gone through the ringer. Because you don't choose the Holy Spirit College. You don't say, I'm going to start studying, and I'm going to pray to God to help me, and so therefore I'm in the Holy Spirit College. No, no, no. It doesn't work like that. You see, the Holy Spirit College is a little bit different. You ain't going to get yourself in the Holy Spirit College. You ain't going to pray yourself into it. You're going to be in it because you're called to be a classmate in the Holy Spirit College. This probably doesn't make sense to you, but I'm trying to get through to you. Some way or another, so you can, you know, be a little bit more humble before the Lord when you think you're a know-it-all and can point fingers at things and say this and that about the other thing. And you don't know a thing about it. And you think you do. You know, it's really amazing to watch people think they know about the Lord. And they're preaching their little piece of the puzzle of the pie of the Lord. They got their little piece of the pie, and so that little piece of the pie is it. No, you got a little sliver. You got a piece or two of the puzzle of the whole picture. God's picture. Your whole bunch of pieces of the puzzle may be the blue area in the sky. And the pieces of the puzzle are almost the same kind of looking pieces and everything, and you're somehow going to have to put your whole massive amount of sky together. You don't even have hardly even a hint of a cloud or a bird flying by to get any perceptive of what your piece of the picture is going to look like, that it could fit into the whole piece. Sometimes you get a little bit better pieces of the puzzle and you start to put something that you can start seeing a picture. But the puzzle is big. Now how could you possibly imagine that because you are seeing a piece of the picture, you got certain pieces of the puzzle, and some of that puzzle starts to make a very clear picture about something. It's a picture that someplace, in other words, there's a bird egg. And you got that bird egg pieces in there, and you can see, boy, that bird egg is, it's got kind of brown speckles on in there, because it's a real good photograph here, there's a piece of the puzzle, and you just see that egg there, you can't quite see what the egg is sitting in, because you only got the piece of the puzzle to the egg, so you could begin to describe this egg pretty well. You could really develop a doctrine on this egg, and you say, well, God gave it to me, and I see it, and I can understand and grasp things about this picture that I'm seeing, but you get this idea that it's the whole doctrine. And so we have all kinds of confusion in the church because everybody's got their little area of the puzzle. If we begin to put pieces of the puzzle together, we can see the wonderful mysteries of the Lord. There's a reason there's so many denominations. There's a reason for even the occultic kind of Christian, as it were. There's a foundation in Christ Jesus that we can be saved. Told you that when we started. God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son, that you rose him on the third day, that he paid the price for my sins. Forgive me my sins. And come into my life. You got this foundation, then you deal with the pieces of the puzzle that you've got. You kind of maybe first getting into some kind of a church that you think fits your liking. And you don't know necessarily what you like, I guess, unless, you know, I didn't know what I liked. I didn't choose what kind of church that I was going to go to. I knew nothing about it because I was an atheist. I was chief atheist. You know, God came to me in a special way. Jesus came to spend a lot of time with me before I finally figured out that, you know, there's more to life than what I was believing. But, you know, it's all set up. God knew exactly what he was doing. I didn't know a thing what I was doing, though I thought I did. I didn't know where I was going to go, you know. I didn't know there was anything particularly to choose. But the person I was with already was rooted in something. Didn't know it. And so here I am now, all cloud nine, in the Shekinah glory of God, you know, I accepted Jesus, and I'm coming out there, and all of a sudden the people I were with look different, you know, and welcome to the family and all that. And this, I kind of understood this, you know, for the first time. And I said, look, let's go to this church. Not because random choosing, but because there's a foundation background of years and years and decades and so forth of the people that I was with had gone to, which was not even related to the place where I got saved. So, you know, I didn't have any choice in it. I didn't know I was going to go to this particular place. I thought I was going to go somewhere else. It was full up. You know how it goes. The place I was going to go was Catherine Coleman. And they're out there, you know, who knows, God can open up seats and everything. A whole bunch of people, hundreds and hundreds, even maybe 1,000 or more, waiting to hope that the seat will clear before they can get in to listen to her. Well, that didn't work, so how? So, we went over to a friend's house. And so forth, and then, hey, I've got some tickets over to this prophecy rally. It's close by, and it starts in about a half hour. We can get there, no problem. Went there, that's where I got saved. no control on my part. See, if you think you're not in control of your life as such, you really don't. You do and you don't. When God is moving on your life and you're about ready to accept Him and so forth, you get plenty of opportunity, but when the right time comes, it's going to happen. And that's where I accepted Jesus. And I had no idea about any of these churches, you know. I didn't even hardly tell you anything about Catholic versus Protestant, let alone anything else. In the churches that I was sort of forced in a way by parents to go to, it was just like a, my mom was in the main church thing. The rest of us was in our proper age group in the Sunday school area, and it was, you know, just kind of big old fun-like thing. You had no idea what they were talking about. They did a lot of fun, you know. They said, oh, you know, pillar, smoke, so forth, so on. Hey, you know. But I didn't believe anything of that. You know, there's no God. And didn't know basically even what their basic faith was, you know. I didn't know you had to get saved, yet that Jesus came to die. Some reason or another, they never really thought that cleared up when I heard it. Maybe they did. Don't know. But the person I was with, let's go to this church. There's Assemblies of God. And so that only continued what I was already experienced with, because the people that I was with were Assembly in the prophecy rallies, background in Assembly of God, which I, of course, learned later and everything. So I'm already, you know, and as I'm looking for this kind of stuff, you know, I didn't know that it was Pentecostal and the move of the Holy Spirit, healing and speaking in tongues. But this, in my life, I knew these things sort of could happen in some kind of manifestation. And sure enough, here it was, Assembly of God was this perfect kind of place. And for me, it rooted me in the Word of God. I'm there 32 years now. It's been about 12 and 13 of those years. Didn't miss a service. Didn't miss a guest speaker. Went to many events that they had, and so forth and so on. Didn't choose the Assembly of God. Didn't choose my salvation date. And people, you have to understand that if you're going to be brought up in the Lord is going to bring you up. When you take charge of your life and decide what to do, now this doesn't mean not to decide to go to college, because it might be that you're being led in such a way that you're going to get in man's Bible college no matter what, because it is in you to do, and when you do the things, it happens. In my case, when I went in to try to do this Bible college type of stuff, I went here, I even went to the place to apply and everything, find out how much money. What I heard? Dollars. Dollars. What does this mean? Check that off. Ain't gonna happen. But I kept checking, you know, there's all kinds of different colleges and Bible type of schools and everything like that. And I've checked quite a few of them out because, you know, I want to learn. I'm hungry for the Word. And I went there. Even one was $800. Not too bad in consideration that the other cheap one was $3,000 or something like that. But that's too much. The circumstances that, no, you're not going to be paying an extra $800. So it's just like, you know, it wasn't a choice factor. Because if I had the $800, I'd do it. If I had the $3,000, I would do it. I wouldn't have known at that time that the $3,000 one particularly was a theology, which I wouldn't want to be filling my brain up with at the time. And neither was some of these other places. Now, the college that I would probably wouldn't mind going to if I was going to go to college would be related to the Assembly of God, even though I believe that some of their doctrine is absolutely wrong, and that generally speaking, as most churches, if not all of them, are already involved in getting into the New World Order agenda, one world religion, a unification church and so forth. They're getting ready to support and help Antichrist come into power. Doesn't matter if they can openly know this is what they're doing. It's what their behavior is and what they're accepting and what they're beginning to believe and what they're reading and who is doing the teaching. A lot of people that don't believe in God the way we do that are teaching us. They believe that Satan is God and that the God we believe in is the evil God, and they're up there teaching our Sunday school and pastoring us, and it sounds like, boy, they love Jesus and they love God within their brains, because where they are, you know, and to be specific, a Mason, they believe that Lucifer never fell and this is God. And yet they could teach better than most Christians could, because they got an agenda. You want an agenda? They got one. Get their man in power when the time comes. When you call on the Holy Spirit and to go to His college, the circumstances aren't going to do it, and you're not going to recognize necessarily the college that you go to. Somehow or another, God sets it up so that you go to school, which might be sitting in front of your computer and doing something, searching. You got this kind of something in driven to try to get an answer to something. Sometimes you might call it wasting so many hours, and you stand there. But as the years go by in that particular class, suddenly you say, you know, I'm beginning to see a pattern. I went through this pattern of this area over here. It took 8 years to get out of that thing. Before, what did I learn? I learned something about relationships, as it were, observing real-life relationships. I learned something, so many things in certain ways, because I was put in a place to observe what was going on. Not my motive. That wasn't why I went there, you know. But God's purpose for me going someplace, or you, is not necessarily yours. You have to have your motive to do something that God wants you to do. But your motive may be not what it is to do the class that God sets you. It's real confusing. Because what I'm trying to tell you is, you may be doing something that you feel so frustrated about that how come God isn't answering your prayer, and you're what you're doing, you almost feel driven to do it. You don't understand why you're still doing it. It's not doing something evil or anything like that, or caught up in some kind of sin that you got to be delivered of or something. It might be something that people might think is something you shouldn't be doing, but you find yourself in circumstances where you're spending an awful lot of time and effort, either because you have a motivation that you're trying to get some sort of answer or satisfaction or some other kind of thing from, and this is used that you gather the information from the Holy Spirit so that it takes time, people. We need to be conditioned. We need to learn. We need to get it inside us, so when we go out, we know what we're talking about. And so don't be too concerned about the areas where you seem like it's taken forever and you're not doing anything for the Lord. If you're called of God, remember, you're going to go through the Holy Spirit College, and there's not going to be a whole lot of choices in it. If you don't know Jesus, turn to Him and say, Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. Forgive me my sins and come into my life. Be God of Rosia on the third day. Read the King James Version. All other versions are Satan counterfeits. And get ready. Great deceptions are coming. And if you don't start looking into these kind of things, you're going to be deceived. You can turn your back on Jesus.